Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, remember we had a look at the incident with the woman taken in adultery, and Jesus said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And remember again that one by one they all disappeared from the crowd. And Jesus said, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours?" And he says, "Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And then we got to verse 12, and this begins another section. Hello. This begins another section. And this kind of transitions between what has just happened and where Jesus is going next. And it said in verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying," and I want to start it here, please. He says, "I am the light of the world." Now, this is a claim to deity, okay? Only he can say, "I am the light of the world," all right? And he goes on to say, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I want you to notice he says, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." So you need to follow Christ in order to not walk in darkness, in order to walk in the light. Because what's going to happen now is the Jewish leaders, these ones that are opposing him, not everybody opposed him. But, you know, we only hear about the squeaky wheel. Do you know what I mean? So the ones that are opposing him are going to speak up now. And so we're going to go through something now that is, I believe, is a warning for everyone. Amen. You know, God will reveal himself so much, and then it is up to you to receive that revelation and do something about it. And if you continually reject it, then where you're headed for is not a good place. And so we are now going to transition into this. And let me continue on in verse 13, because I've actually dealt with some of this in the past. But the Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself, and your witness is not true." All right? And literally, in the literal text again, it said, "When you call yourself the light of the world, you are just boasting. No one confirms your testimony with reference to yourself, hence it cannot be true," is what they're saying, all right? Verse 14, "Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true." Remember I told you that he is God. Okay, God doesn't lie, right? All right? And remember, this is the Gospel of John, which started by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Remember that? Yep. We're coming up to something here in this chapter which is really phenomenal. I don't think we'll get to it today, all right? But we're going to see what this means, especially because, you know, these people have this thing. They do two things. They're either the children of Abraham, or they're the followers of Moses. Abraham was the father of the Jews. Moses was the kind of father of the law. You know, and they love their laws, you know what I mean? So they keep bouncing between these two. And, you know, their greatest claim is their father is Abraham. And Jesus Christ is kind of going to nail that one. And I won't tell you what he says. Somebody knows, but yeah, anyway, we'll get to that. You want to read ahead, don't you? Anyway, that's good. It's good to read your Bible. All right, so... So he says here, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going." Okay, remember again, he came from God, he's going back to God. This is huge, family, all right? But he says, "You do not know where I come from and where I'm going." So they have no idea of his heavenly origins. They have no idea who they're talking to. They don't realize they're talking to God. They don't realize that every time they reject him, they're rejecting God. Get a revelation of that one, okay? All right. Verse 15, he says, "You judge according to the flesh." I'm still last week, all right? He says, "You judge according to the flesh," all right? That's outwardly. And he says, "I judge no one." And again, in line with this verse, he's saying, I don't judge anybody according to the flesh. He says, "I can see into your hearts," all right? verse 16, And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. All right? Again, it's true, it's genuine, the real thing. For I'm not alone, but I am with the Father. Now, this is a key thought here. He says, I am with the Father. You may not be, and you don't seem to be, but I am. See, if you are with the Father, then you'll receive what Jesus is saying, and the Spirit will confirm it in your heart. How many times have you been listening to somebody, and you know, as they're ministering, the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and you're getting even further revelations? Because that's how this thing works. It's not natural, it's supernatural. Amen. And so God will just keep speaking to you. And you know, a lot of you, I believe that a lot of you get better revelations than even I got, sitting listening to me. And that's what should happen. I should inspire in you to look beyond what I'm saying, to hear God for yourself. And for what you've been doing through the week and studying and the revelations you're getting, you even get more and you go, I got something to say. And we'll have that, all right? Okay. So that's what should be happening. That's what should have been happening with them. I don't know how many times I've been reading something and even a commentary or something, and suddenly the scriptures would just jump in me and I'll start remembering all over the Bible other things. That's what should have been happening with them. These are meant to be, you know, professors and lawyers of the law. And as Jesus spoke, instead of them fighting him, they should have been going, oh my gosh, this confirms this. I see this now, and I begin to understand that over here. And we used to be arguing about this. Now I get what it means. That should have been what was going on. Right. Instead, they're jealous. It's very sad. Anyway. Where was I? I lost my place. Anyway, okay. All right, okay. He says, I am with the Father. Now, verse 17. So here now we begin, all right? It says, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Watch now, okay? He says, because they're saying, oh, you're just bearing witness of yourself. All right? The law says something else, and we'll look at that law in a minute. Verse 18, he says, I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me, he is the other, all right, says the New Living Translation, who bears witness of me or testifies on my behalf. Right. Now, the law he's referring to is Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 19:15. Now, this law was only there when you're convicting somebody. So they are quoting a law that is only used in court when somebody's done something bad. All right? And they want to pass judgment on somebody, but they need to know they have the facts before they do. Because, you know, you just can't have one person say, well, that person did this and they're lying. And somebody else goes, I never saw them do that. Okay? So they had to have at least two witnesses. That's right. To say, we saw that. Yeah. That person is telling the truth. Okay? Is this a court of law? No. So they're bringing something up that is not right. But Jesus answers them. And sometimes I think Jesus standing there just shaking his head and going, you people have no idea what you're talking about. You are meant to be representing me and the Word. Remember, he's the Word, okay? And you're terrible. No wonder the people are wandering off. Remember, they were leaving the synagogues and coming to him. That was the problem. They'd turn up at the synagogue and go, where's everybody today? They're out there with Jesus, the hippie. Hello. Okay, like he's out there in bare feet. No. Okay. The sheep under his arm. That's everybody. Everybody sees it that way, don't they? Anyway. So, you know, this is difficult for them. They're just starting to throw things at him, but he's still answering them. And he's saying, listen, you want two witnesses. He goes, number one, I bear witness of myself. How does he bear witness of himself? The works. Remember all the things he does? Remember they said, a man can't do this except God be with him. That's right. Are you getting this? Remember John the Baptist said, I saw the heavens open. I saw a dove landing on him. I saw the Spirit of God. I mean, so many things have been said. They might not have been there for it, but John sure let them know. There was somebody preaching about it all. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And they all went out to him, remember? And he said, I don't know. Go bring fruits of repentance. I want to see something here. You people think you can, you know, it's just like, oh, let's go do this religious thing just in case we're going to hell and we need help. That's why they came. John says, no, that's not going to work. This isn't just a save you from hell thing. This is a you dedicate your life to God thing. Hello. Anyway, I'm preaching other things now. Anyway, back to this. So as I said before again, Jesus bore witness of himself in the miracles he performed, the Old Testament prophecies he fulfilled, and in the way that he knew all men, in the way that only God could. I mean, only God could know what's on the inside of people. And God the Father bore witness of him at his baptism, as I said before, okay? And on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now that was, anyway. God had said audibly, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. At his baptism and on the mountain. Now nobody was there on the mountain except those three. But everybody was there for other things. You know, all the way through, God has been confirming this. So, you know, Jesus is saying, I bear witness of myself and God is also there. These two things have been working hand in hand all this time and you guys don't want to see it. Verse 19. Then they said to him, wow, where is your father? Can you believe this? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. In other words, the Pharisees had hardened their hearts so much that they couldn't actually hear God's voice. They couldn't spiritually discern who Jesus was. Isn't this incredible? You know, how many times have you sort of been around someone and you sort of start getting a sense of, I think that might be a Christian. You know, it's just kind of, you know, and you sense something. These guys couldn't even sense God. I mean, it could be a Christian with a little light. And you're starting to pick up on that. Here is the light of the world. Are you getting this? And these are people who are meant to be experts. Verse 20. He says It says, these words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Now the hour spoken of here is that they couldn't arrest him before his time. Remember, he said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down, I pick it up. So regardless of what their agenda is, it's not going to happen. Amen. Now, that's the time that we're going to throw him off a cliff and he walks right through the middle of him. Because it wasn't his time yet. Amen. All right. Now, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Is that okay? I just want to get through some of these things. But I want you to know what's going on. And I want you to see something in this. I want you to know that you've gone through the Gospel of John. Okay. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away. Now, this is referring to his death, okay? Resurrection and ascension to the Father, by the way. And he says, you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This is a warning. He's saying, you're continually rejecting me. Let me just say. In other words, all those who reject Christ will die in their sin with no comfort, no peace of any kind, only in dark despair. And of course, neither will they be with him in the Father's presence in heaven. Do you understand? By rejecting him, they're rejecting eternal life. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved, again John, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. So those that reject him don't get that life. Remember I told you the moment that you make Jesus Christ Lord, your eternal life begins then. You don't have to die and go to heaven and then live for eternity. You started the moment you received him as Lord. Isn't that powerful? That's what the Apostle John says. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Why? You have eternal life in you. You have a power residing in you that is so great that the Bible says he will do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what we can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Anyway, back to this. I've said to you, instead, they will be eternally separated from God. With MacArthur saying, by refusing the light of the world, they doom themselves to the eternal darkness of hell. Wow. Isn't that powerful? See, that's what happens when you reject the light, you invite the darkness. There's never a middle ground. There's never a gray area. Amen? Verse 22. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come? Jeez. Now, let me explain this a little bit to you. See, the Jews understood. They abhorred suicide. Okay? And they believed that those who killed themselves would actually go to the blackest pit of hell. But funny, they had no trouble plotting his death and his murder. And no thought about the consequences of what they were doing. Can you believe this? Now, you know, this isn't some horrible murderer. This is the person that heals people, feeds people, raises people from the dead, and they're trying to kill him. It's incredible, isn't it? The way the devil blinds the minds of people, you know, and the way they'll point fingers at other people and you know, they look at themselves and they're 10 times worse than the people they're pointing fingers at. It's like a big wow. You probably have dealings with people like that. All right. Where are we? Continue on to verse 23. And he said to them, see, because of what they're saying, he says, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Now, there are two things actually brought out here. I want you to catch both of them. The first thing is, with regard to Jesus saying, you are from beneath, I am from above, William Hendrickson says it this way. He says, what Jesus means is that the thought and motives of these Jews are hell-inspired, while his own were heaven-inspired. That's why he says from below. He doesn't say from here. Some of the commentators say, Jesus was saying they were from this earth. No, Jesus actually saying from below. That's below this earth. Secondly, when Jesus says you are of this world, he is saying that they are part of the invisible spiritual system of evil that is actually in opposition to the kingdom of God. See, there is a, remember 2 Corinthians 4:4. Let me just quickly go there. Remember it said that Satan, the god of this evil world, it goes and says, blinded the minds of those who don't believe. You know, he can only blind the minds of those who refuse to believe. When you refuse to believe, you allow yourself to be blinded. If you choose to believe, then the word sets you free. Amen? All right. So accordingly, Jesus is very clear that he is not a part of this evil world system, and goes and say in verse 24 then, he says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, and if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I mean, he said it twice. But you know why? Because they're hard of hearing. He said, kids, you know, sometimes kids, and you say something and they don't hear. And then somebody over there goes, yep, you know. And then you say, repeat what I just said. didn't think so. So we say it again. Okay. That's why, you know, a lot of people that, you know, when they're teaching, one of the things that they do is they employ the use of questions. Because it, you know, so you're talking and then say, what do you think? And they go, about what? You know, about what I said. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, you know, and it activates something in your little brain and it goes, wake up, dude, we're missing things. Okay, so Jesus is trying to get, he knows what's inside man. He knows when people are picking up and when people are not picking up. So he's looking and thinking, you're not getting this. You are still not getting this. You know why? Because they had such a hatred towards him, so much prejudice towards him. They couldn't hear. Have you noticed sometimes that people, when they're prejudiced about someone, regardless of what they say, I have experiences firsthand. Regardless of what they say, they only hear what they think they're saying rather than what they're actually saying. I remember I was counseling somebody over something, and I ministered, and when I finished, they said, "Oh, you were talking to me, weren't you?" And not in a nice way, okay? Because I'd said certain things to this individual that they were not doing right, okay? And I was trying to help him get back on track, that's all. You know, I don't judge people, okay? All right? And so I was just trying to help him get on track. And so one of the messages that I preached must have had something to do with it. I didn't even know. And while they're thinking, they're sitting there and stewing and thinking, he's talking about me and he's saying all these things to me. I have no idea. And the Spirit of God is convicting them left, right, and center. And all they can do is look at me and say, I've got a thing against them. And with a clear conscience, I said, I had no idea I was talking to you. Dude, if God's saying something, listen. Okay? Oh, they didn't want to hear that either. You know what I'm trying to say? That's what's going on. All right. I've said here, he repeats his warning to them and emphasizes again that they need to believe in him. Otherwise, they are never going to receive forgiveness and never going to escape hell. But sadly, their hardened hearts refuse to accept him, nor of any of God's promptings. And so it goes and says, verse 25, then they said to him, who are you? Do you know in the literal text, it actually says, you, who are you? You know, that kind of this is Jesus, man. He's amazing how he can take all this. And Jesus said to them, what I have been saying to you from the beginning. They're asking him questions, which he's answered. I love William Hendrickson. He says this. He says, Jesus is saying to them, I am all that I claim to be. The one sent by the Father, the one who is from above, the Son of Man, the only begotten of God, equal with God, the one who has life in himself, the very essence of the Scriptures, the bread of life, the light of the world, and so on. What more do you want? Okay? There was nothing more to say. So verse 26. And now he says that this is what I want to focus in on a little bit. He says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Now, apparently verse 26... in the original text, they said there was a little bit here and there that they might not have had all the words. So they kind of pieced this one together. With all the information that they've got, can I just tell you now what they've sort of understood this to mean more than what it just says? Because you read that and you think, I don't know, I'm not sure what that's going on over there. The literal text actually says this. I have many things to say concern. I'll still explain it, okay? It says, I have many things to say concerning you and to judge. But in spite of your vehemently uttered rejections and your manifestations of unbelief, what I shall say is true, because he who sent me is true. And whatever I have heard from him, these things I speak to the world. Now, in other words, they had been given more than enough information and revelation to be held responsible for their actions. Did you get this? Therefore, their ignorance was unpardonable. Do you hear me? And so his judgment of them would be just and in perfect harmony with the Father's will. Because as he said here, it was the Father who sent him. And he only spoke things which he heard the Father say. Now get this. Therefore, all of Jesus' judgments and pronouncements over them was actually coming from God the Father himself. Isn't that frightening? Isn't that sad? This wasn't Jesus expressing an opinion. He said, I only say what I see the Father saying. Do you know he was seeing the Father saying all this to them? Are you getting this? This was serious. That's why, you know, it's this chapter in verse 44 that he's going to say, you are of your father, the devil. You know, they just don't hear. They just don't receive. Just walking this path. And can I just say this? God will speak to you and speak to you and speak to you and speak to you. He will reveal himself in all kinds of ways. And to some people, none of it is enough. It's never enough. If you are talking to somebody and you are running into a wall, understand they may not be ready yet. Their heart may be so hardened that they just don't want to. This is when you pray. Okay? You. This is not for you to do anymore. This is for you to go and say, God, soften their hearts. Because all the seed I'm throwing is hitting concrete right now. Yeah. And don't waste your time. Why win an argument? You're not there to argue. You're there to share. Remember, we're witnesses. We're not lawyers. We're the little dude that gets in the sand and say, I saw that. That's it. Don't have to prove nothing. I saw it. That's it. You want to believe it? Believe it. If you don't, it's up to you. Remember? I gave you that definition. It was so important that we get these things. Because a lot of times we're trying to win arguments. And we're fighting. And, you know, we're saying, oh, we're suffering for Jesus. Dude, the times you suffer for Jesus is not then. Okay? The times you suffer for Jesus is when you stand up for what you believe is right. And people are coming against you. And they say, oh, you don't smoke. Oh, you're one of those people, are you? Oh, you don't drink. Oh, you think it's all evil. Dude, I drink, but not like you. You know, everything is from God. Let me stop for a minute. Because all the people that have alcoholic problems, they jump up and say, no, we should never. Well, for you, yes, that's correct. Don't ever. Because you don't know how to control the thing. So don't. Okay, so having said that, let's move on. It's terrible when people that have problems make doctrines. Don't make a doctrine out of your problem. Always look at the word of God. Rightly divide the thing. Amen? Anyway, back. Like I said, if it's a problem, don't do it. Okay. Where was I? All right. And so, I said this again here. Their ignorance was unpardonable. Okay? So, all that Jesus did came from the Father, and verse 27 says they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Isn't this incredible? They were so separate. They had gone so far away from God. Let me just say that. And you can drift so far away from God that you don't even recognize when somebody comes and says something to you that it was coming from God. Are you all with me? Do you know when people say things to me, I will always take it with a grain of salt. I won't reject it, neither will I swallow it whole. Do you understand? So be careful. It always says judge whatever prophecies are coming your way. Okay? You need to. Because the Lord will confirm that one way or the other. If you never think about it again, if you are connected to God, okay? It means that wasn't God. That was just them with pizza. No, seriously, people will say stuff. I remember in Bible college, you know, we were all, this so-called, you know, prophet came, and he was prophesying over people, and oh, Lordy, you know, he talked to this guy and said, you know, thus said the Lord, you've had a drinking problem, and God is going to deliver him. The guy goes, I never drank. After, he didn't tell him then, just after, okay, in the class. And somebody else, oh, thus said the Lord, this and that and everything else. Listen, if it ain't right, it ain't right. Just because thus said the Lord is put in front of it doesn't mean it's the Lord. Yeah. Some people just, you know, whatever. There were others that would hit it. You know, I mean, they would say things and it'd be like, holy Moses. How did they know? They didn't. God did. And God's trying to say something to you. Listen. Amen? Anyway. So, I've said here, their willful unbelief and their intense hate and prejudice of him caused them to once again not want to hear and understand what Jesus had so plainly said to them. They had no ears to hear. Remember, Jesus said, let them who have ears to hear, hear. Okay. Verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Now listen, in other words, I got to read this one, okay? This is too much information here. The day was coming when the truth of his claims would all be confirmed, especially after his death and resurrection, and they would finally realize that he was the one that they had been waiting for. And that both his words and his works actually did reveal the Father. And on that day, it would not only finally vindicate every claim he ever made, but also, as William Hendrickson put it, they would one day awaken to the terrifying realization that this one whom they despised was nevertheless whatever he claimed to be. Too late, this truth would crash in upon them in the hour of death and at the final judgment. Couldn't have said it any better. And Jesus concludes by saying in verse 29, we'll finish here today. And he who has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me, for I always do those things that please him. Isn't that beautiful? Every single time he talks about his Father. When they said, teach us to pray, he says, okay, our Father. They go, what? No, our God? No, our Father. He just had this beautiful relationship with the Father, and he was trying to share it with us so that we could have that beautiful relationship with the Father rather than what the Pharisees and the lawgivers and all the religious people were doing, as trying to make God up there and us down here, and we're nothing and we're not worthy and we're all those things and we're just worms in the dirt and everything else. We are things that God loves, that he gave his only begotten Son. So that if we would just turn around and believe, we could have everlasting life. He loved us so much. You don't die for a worm in the earth. Yeah. Amen? You die. Well, if you, never mind. You die for things that are precious. And the Bible constantly talks about how precious you are. Amen. Let me finish with this. In other words, in everything that Jesus said and did, the Father was with him. Not once did he ever do anything apart from the Father, and not once did he ever do anything that didn't please the Father. In fact, Jesus spent his whole life pleasing the Father, and why it says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, I've got the New Living Translation here, he is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin, because he always did what the Father did. Okay, what pleased the Father. And therefore, watch this. He says, he has now been set apart for sinners, that he has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place. Amen? That's what he means when he says, I never did anything outside of the Father's will. Everything I did was in the Father's will. You know, I just quickly say this. Let me finish with that. Let me just read the next verse because it takes us into the next section. All right? And I want to tie it in right now. It says here, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. In defending himself, there's all these Jews on the outside listening. And they're going, this is good stuff. And so while the religious leaders are trying to put him down and discredit him and do everything to muddy his name, people are going, every time he speaks, remember the guards came back? You know, they said, why didn't you arrest him in the previous chapter? And they said, yeah, we didn't hear nobody's spoken like him. This guy's amazing. Okay? At 12 years old, remember? He's in the temple and all the lawyers are going, wow, this kid's brilliant. So, it's been happening. Listen to me. Whatever the devil tries to use against you, God will turn it around and use it for your victory, your success, you know, to make you look good and for his glory. Amen. Always. The devil will always lose. Yeah. Just know that. While you're arguing with somebody and you're trying to share the gospel, there might be five people listening and receive the Lord. Even though this one walks away, don't look at the one that walked away. Check to see if there's anybody that believed. You might be surprised. Amen? I'm going to stop there. I've said it best here, actually. I said, whatever you do for God, no matter how much the enemy tries to oppose it, it will always turn around for your good and God's glory. Amen? Amen. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll pick this up here and go on to it next week. Father, we just thank you today for your word. And we thank you, Father, for this gospel, for all the things that it is sharing that is wonderful, and also all the warnings that are going with this, Father. And we just thank you, Father, that not only for ourselves, but we also understand what's happening in the way that you are revealing yourself and the way that man is either receiving or rejecting you. And Father, that we understand that we're not the only ones that run into rejection. We're not the only ones that run into problems like this. Even Jesus Christ, the Word that was God who was made flesh, had problems with people that didn't want to believe. But I thank you, Lord, that in all of this, we also see that you always come through, that you always take everything that is going on in our lives and will continually turn it for good as long as we allow you to do that. Hallelujah. And that you will always have the final say in all things. And we just give you the praise and the glory for that we serve such an amazing, powerful, wonderful, mighty God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.